right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again tonight on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. It's going to be a short show tonight, though, because we have the national championship game and the pregame that goes along with it, and that'll take over at 6:30. So we're with you for half an hour tonight to talk about that championship game featuring Michigan and Villanova. Both teams got there over the weekend on Saturday here on WGCL in very different ways, as Michigan had to endure a large deficit, 10 points at one point for Michigan against Loyola Chicago, but turned up the D and started taking advantage of an aggressive Loyola Chicago defense themselves to get to the bucket finally, and they do pull out the victory over Loyola Chicago. Loyola very game at the end of the day, but on the other side of it, Villanova, they just came out firing and didn't miss very often. 18 three-pointers made. It was a ridiculous first half. I think they had 13 at half, which was already a tie for the record against Indiana in 1987 by UNLV, of all things. But two very different basketball games, two different basketball teams tonight, a clash of styles tonight. But let's quickly look back at Saturday and look at that first game, the Loyola Michigan game. What stood out to you the most? Because to me, it was the way that Michigan, I wouldn't say it was lazy early, but settled, I think, on the offensive end. And then the way they ramped it up, especially on the defensive end, and didn't let Loyola get into the lane at all late in that second half, I thought was a huge key for Michigan.
Well, I thought the game was a game of adjustments as well. And Loyola came out and executed their game plan very well. And full credit to Porter Mosier and the staff and the guys at Loyola, because they did everything that you could ask them to do. Yep. They obviously found some things on tape where they could attack Michigan and make them highly uncomfortable. And Michigan, as we pointed out last week, doesn't always fire offensively. And scoring 22 first-half points, you couldn't ask for much more from Loyola. And Michigan was fine. They weren't in some kind of danger area where they were going to get run out of the gym, because you just didn't feel like Loyola had enough offensive horses to hook up the wagon like Villanova did.
Yeah, if it got down to five, they bumped it back to nine, but they didn't ever get it out to 18 like they did against Kansas State.
No, they didn't put Michigan in that go for broke type area. And then you saw John Beilein adjust, and you wonder why he was, I think he was named National Coach of the Year somewhere over the weekend for one of those deals. And you saw why. He got his best player involved. He got the best matchup problem involved. Michigan hit two threes. Their first two baskets were threes and led 6-4. You can do the
math.
And
those were awful, but shots, by the way.
They went in. They both went in. But the thing was, at halftime, they were 2 of 15. So they missed their next 13 threes. Mm-hmm. And not all those shots were terrible. Just some of them didn't go in.
Right.
But that had been a weak link of Michigan. They just haven't shot it like some of those great offensive teams they've had in the past. But if anybody had any questions about how good Mo Wagner is, look, I understand he wasn't playing against Lou Alcindor or Bill Walton. I get that. But what we did understand was Loyola didn't have any way to stop him doing anything. He killed him on the glass. He killed him in transition. He killed him making steals defensively.
They were down 7 at half. It could have been 17 if it wasn't for his work on the offensive boards.
Right. Just keeping his he's bigger and stronger than a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe the big freshman for Loyola could hold his own in that sense. But, you know, Wagner's tipping the ball to himself. He's keeping the plays alive. He was fearless. And a team that needed somebody to take the game by the scruff of the neck, that's exactly what Michigan got from him. How about the step-back three to give him the lead in the second half? He said, forget it, I'm going to catch it in the post, go dribble out to the three-point line and nail that shot. That's when you felt the tide turn. That's when you saw Loyola kind of, geez, maybe this isn't going to work out our best. But when it came down to it, what does Michigan do really well? Well, you told me last week they're third in the KenPom defensive statistics. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they stopped Loyola from scoring, holding him to 28 second-half points in 20 minutes. The shoe was on the other foot there for Loyola, and they just didn't get plenty of clean looks here, there, or anywhere else. And Michigan got into the passing lanes. Michigan got into their guards. Nothing came easy in the second half trying to find baskets. It caused steals. They got on them breaks. And I thought they did a really good job not panicking. And I think that's where coaching comes in. Mm-hmm. I think you could see from Beilein there, they were just nibbling away at it. They weren't taking the first three they looked at. They were trying to spread them. They're trying to run stuff. They're trying to get stuff at the rim. to make it comfortable where they didn't have to feel like every shot was going to be a tilt one way or the other. And Wagner's performance, 24-15, they told you during the game, was the first plus 20 15 game since Hakeem Olajuwon in 83.
There's only three players on Final Four weekend on that Saturday that have done that.
I think, but
it was him and Larry Bird, I thought.
Yeah, it was Bird. Yeah, it was. You're absolutely right. And that just puts that performance in perspective. Sometimes you can have the greatest laid plans and they don't work defensively or offensively, mm-hmm. and then you get a kid go out and does what Wagner did. And he does it all over the court. He's a hard matchup when he starts knocking down jumpers. Then you got to drag their big guy away from him. And then all of a sudden you've got driving lanes, and it was a really, really good adjustment made by Beilein, because you go from 22 points to 47 in the second half. Yep. And remember, this game wasn't foul, foul, foul the last 2 minutes either. They I think, dribbled out the last 20 seconds, 30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
So fair play to Michigan. They didn't mess with Cinderella, didn't get her upset, didn't get her angry. And I think Raftery nailed it. He said, they asked him about the 4 minute mark when the tide had really turned. He said, I think you're seeing the fruits of Michigan's labor, who they've had to play all season long, who they've had to battle against, and they just had enough. They had guys that were better basketball physically, and they ran their execution almost perfectly in the second half.
Yeah, I thought early they fell into some traps and took some quick shots, but they
exactly
really
exactly what Loyola wanted
them to do. They back cut them more in the second half. They took advantage of the overplay and did a great job. Let's move on to the nightcap then. The two number one seeds, Kansas and Villanova, went at it, and Villanova just simply could not miss in either half, but in particular in the first half. Three after three after three after three. Yeah. Everybody out there can hit a three. They were all over the glass. I mean, you name it, they could not miss for a while there. I think they were 13-23 in the first
26,
half.
26, but close enough, 50%.
It was ridiculous. 20 assists on the night. I think the question we'll ask later is, can that be duplicated? But how good was that against this Kansas team in this game that they were able to be like that? Was that a hot night, or was that, this is the way they're going to be, and that's how hard it's going to be for Michigan to slow them down?
I think it's a little bit of both. Jay Wright said after the game, look, we got lucky hitting all those shots, but we tend to make them. We score 90 points a game.
I mean, they do hit them. They're the number one KenPom offense in the nation.
But Kansas had three problems in this game. Number one, they couldn't make any in the first half to keep up, or as many. But when someone's making 13, that's an impossible thing. You know what it reminded me of? Indiana Kent State.
Yeah, that's right.
That they just came out and shut the doors off and the game's over.
Miss.
If you can't stop them, and you can't get defensive rebounds and give them second chances where they kick it around the horn again for another three and then make that one. So you couldn't stop the three. You couldn't stop them on the glass, and you couldn't make any shots. I mean, that is the complete recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, Kansas hung in there and cut it to 11 multiple times.
Yep.
They couldn't get over that hump because Villanova would just go down again.
Hit it again.
And then when the 8-minute mark hit and the lead was 18 or 19, they took the air out of the basketball and just waited and did anything they wanted to do, because when you're ahead like that, you force a team to come out and overplay. You force teams to take chances in the passing lane.
They scored 95
and they
points.
Picked them apart.
They were walking the ball up
six minutes
into the game.
Yeah.
Into the game. They're already up 16.
It doesn't matter what tempo you play with if you're making shots.
Yeah.
And that was the key to that. And Kansas just didn't have any answers for them. They put five guys on the perimeter. Kansas's big fella was going to be a liability out there. That was going to be part of the issue. Kansas needed the lead and make them chase, but that didn't. That's not how that happened. But Villanova, what are they, 35-4? One of their losses this year I saw over the weekend was to Butler. And all Butler did that night was hit 16-22 threes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I mean, that's what it takes to beat Villanova sometimes, where you have to go out and knock down a bunch of shots.
Not, keep up with it.
Right.
I mean,
situational shots are great, but when you're down 20, there are no situational
shots. You could
shots.
See Kansas early. I mean, you're right. They stuck around with it. They were plucky enough to be in it or close to in it, but you could tell early. I mean, it's like, what in the world? I mean, are they ever going to miss out
here? But when you have five guys that could put the ball on the floor on the perimeter, you had one kid. I think it was the kid had 20-something.
Pascal.
His career high.
Yeah, it was 10 of 11.
Well, there you go. So you get that from him. It takes all the pressure off everybody else.
Yep.
It lets everybody else on that team breathe. And when you see your buddy make it, you're going to make it. And if not, they're going to give it to you again. You're going to get another try. And they went in from everywhere.
Yep.
Left corner, right corner, top of the key, fast break, slow break. take your time, run 30 seconds off the clock, get a missed shot from three and grab an offensive rebound and put it in for a layup.
Yep.
They were fantastic, and that's why they're a number one seed. And to the victor go those spoils. And when you shoot it that well, you put so much. Everything Kansas had to do after halftime had to be perfect.
Yep.
And when you have that margin, you don't have to play your best basketball. And Villanova didn't have to, and they won comfortably.
I mean, Kansas scored 47 second-half points.
Lost a half by one.
Just a reminder, we're leaving you at 6:30 here.
Right.
Do we have a break need to take?
Yeah, let's go hit that right now.
Let's do that now, and then we'll give you some preview. Again, we're with you only until 6:30, so just one more segment here left, and we'll turn it over to the long pregame for tonight's championship game, Michigan and Villanova. And that tips off just after 9 o'clock, and we'll have all that for you here. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes. Again, we're with you for just a few more minutes here. We're going to turn it over to pregame Westwood One's coverage of tonight's national championship game, Villanova and Michigan. But it has also started baseball season. We'll have the Reds tomorrow night, 6:40 is when we'll start that out tomorrow night, Tuesday night with the Cubs in town, and then pick it back up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock, all three nights as the Reds are in Pittsburgh. So you'll hear a lot of our Reds coverage, and you can check out WGCLradio.com for more information.
Reds trying to get their first win of the season. They lead in the top of the eighth, 1-0 against the Cubbies, two outs, and a runner on first. Reds fell to the Nationals in three over the weekend, falling yesterday 6-5. Washington's going to be really good. So are the Cubs. That's a nice, tough playoff start for the Reds, playing two of the best three or four teams in the National League to get their season started. But onward and upward. 159-3, I think, was the call last night, the cry from Reds fans.
There
Why
you
not?
Go. Well, we can do it.
The math is possible.
Sure, it's possible. Looking at tonight, you've got Michigan. They best defense in the league, one of the top defenses in the nation, actually, by Ken Pom, efficiency ratings. You got the best offense in the nation in Villanova. They put 95 up on Kansas and hit 18 threes, which was
ridiculous.
A final four record 40. By I mean, five on. Made threes.
Come on.
And it was ridiculous. So the question is, which style wins tonight? Michigan's offense has not been the same offense we've seen the last couple of years. We talked about that when we played them in December. Hey, this is an offensive team. They figured out defense in the middle of the year, and their offense wasn't working as well, and it hasn't worked as well. They scored 99 against Texas A&M, but that's the outlier.
Bring that back.
Which style is going to win in a championship game? We talk about this. You got to put it in the basket, don't you?
You do have to put it in the basket, and that's what makes it highly, highly difficult. That's why Michigan is a 7-point underdog. That's one of the biggest underdogs in a championship game in recent memory, but there is a reason you play the game. And I don't think the depth of Michigan, it's good, it's not great. I don't know Villanova. Listen to this. They beat Kansas they're up 100 the entire game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their bench, biggest minutes, 8 minutes. They had 8-5-1-1-1. Their starters.
They had one guy, DiVincenzo, played a lot, but that's it.
At the bottom.
Six of them,
they play six.
Yeah.
So, again, they're just not a deep, deep team. So what a deep team or non-deep teams can't do, they can't get into foul trouble.
Right.
So how this game is officiated, and Beilein's smart enough, I don't think Michigan can spend their time trying to hunt threes here. I think they need to get the ball in. I think they need to drive, get Abdur Rahman into the lane, Simpson into the lane, and then try to get some of these guys in some foul trouble where Villanova has to go to their bench.
Because Spellman is the one guy who's a real inside threat, and he can hit from outside, but, I mean, as far as rebounding, hitting the boards,
nine
a big guy.
Threes.
Yeah, I mean, up against Azabike, and, I mean, they went toe-to-toe.
He shot the most threes in the semifinal.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what you're dealing with Villanova, but I like Beilein in the situation. Jay Wright's awesome. You can't say anything bad about Jay Wright. But what Michigan's going to have to do is they're going to have to find a way to get in the mid-70s at least. And they can't.
I can't see Villanova being in the 60s in this.
I think Michigan guards better than Kansas. I think Kansas might have better basketball players, but I think Michigan guards better as a whole. Yeah. And that's what's going to be one of the keys, is not letting – if Villanova's going to hit contested threes and make 12 of them in the first half again, I don't think it's going to matter who they're playing. But you got to be able to handle the perimeter, and if you close out a guy, it can't blow by you.
Yeah, seeing the way that Michigan shut down the lane against Loyola in the last 10 or so minutes of that basketball game on Saturday, they would be happy to see Villanova shoot from outside. Now, maybe they won't be after Villanova goes 8 for 11 to start the game, but that's the thing. I mean, can they keep that up, or was that Kansas not being ready?
Is John Beilein going to pull a little trick out of his bag? Yeah, at some point he's going to have to, I think. And with Michigan, they've played enough teams, they've played enough good teams where they know what it takes to be. They won at Michigan State. They won at East Lansing. Yeah. They've won in the – they beat Purdue in Madison Square Garden when Isaac Haas was playing.
Beat Michigan State again there, too.
Right. So it's not like they haven't seen – it's not like Loyola where they kind of walk into the Lions Den and see maybe a different level of basketball. Mm-hmm. Is Michigan good enough to win this game? Yeah. Do they have to play almost perfectly? Sure, they absolutely do. That's what – they're a three seed for a reason. Villanova's a one seed for a reason.
They can't get a no-show out of their point guard once again.
No, and you know what? That's tough because his game is not to score a bunch of points, but he can't evaporate and get in foul trouble either. That's the other side issue of it. But Michigan has some seniors. They've got a kid in Wagner that shows he can carry it a little bit. He's a tough guard. It's not Azubuike where they're just going to have to sit in the block and let him catch it and put their hands up in the air. They're going to have to chase him around. And we'll see what Villanova's made of a little bit defensively here. But their best defense is obviously scoring points and getting after it. You don't want to see 28% and 31% in the first half, and it's 22-18.
Yeah.
But that will help Michigan.
Well, that's what Michigan wants to do.
If they can shorten the game and be in it at the under 8 timeout. If they're around 10 at the under 8 timeout, I think Michigan's got a chance because I think they can plod themselves around it. So can Villanova. But if you need a big shot, I'm not sure. Wagner was on incredible fire. That momentum he takes into the championship game, he feels like can't be stopped. Remember, he was a question mark offensively. He had the one good game.
Yeah.
And you can go back and add them all up, and they weren't as many as he had probably in Texas A&M and Loyola game combined in his last few games. So it's at least captivating from that angle that Michigan is just not going to walk in and on paper just get blown out of the gym.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that if Loyola was playing. If Loyola had somehow got into this game, they would be in some unbelievable trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
But with this, Michigan playing through the Big Ten, Villanova playing through the Big East, this is a pretty good matchup. If you sat back and looked at the Final Four, everybody wanted to have Virginia maybe in this spot, or who else was on that side of the bracket? Virginia was over there. Who was in the bottom? It could be Xavier.
North Carolina.
Cincinnati. Yeah, but Michigan is pretty good for their worth, but they're going to have a great offensive performance tonight, and there's no way around that. I don't think Villanova turns into a rock fight game. I think they're just too good for that.
What's the number for Michigan that they cannot let Villanova get over?
I don't think it can be more than 72 or 73. Yeah, I think it has to be in there, because if you break that out per half, you know, a 47-point half to give up isn't terrible if you have 45.
Right.
So that's asking Michigan.
Yeah, and then you're done with it, and then you move on to the second half.
The old joke was that Villanova wouldn't shoot that for the entire game. The second half, they shot 14 threes and made 5. So that's right. It's not. But when you have that padded of a lead, it doesn't matter on that. So Butler showed you a way to get after him. You got to make a ton of shots, and I think that's the key. But if Michigan, like I said, can dogfight it down to the 8-minute timeout and hang around where maybe Villanova gets frustrated that they haven't knocked him out yet, that would tell me that that's a pretty good shot for Michigan to be in the game. I'm just trying to find losses. I mean, Villanova lost to St. John's.
Yeah.
Villanova lost to Providence.
St. John's had two or three in a row that just shocked everybody when they were in last place.
Creighton scored 89 to beat them. St. John's 79. Providence 76 and Butler 101. So you're not going to get them in a 53-54, it seems like, because they just score too many points. Should be a great game. Let's hope it's a great game. Let's hope the officials aren't involved with it, as we always say, and both these teams come out and play well.
Let's get a pick from you.
Villanova's going to win the game. I'm hoping for the Big Ten's sake, since the Big Ten hasn't won a national championship since 2000, that the Big Ten finds a way to make their way through it. I Villanova's not going to shoot it that well, but they're awfully, awfully good, and that's the problem right now. So yeah. I'm going to go with the and the other problem is everybody in America is taking Villanova. So it always makes me say, gosh, maybe I want to jump in on Michigan plus – I'll take Michigan plus a 7. How about that for a
I've got Villanova in my brackets. They shoot better and are used to defenses like Michigan more than Loyola was, so I don't think that's going to shock them. I do think they're not going to score 95 in this game, but I think Villanova will come out on top. Music means we got to head on out of here. And yes, it's early, but that's okay because we're going to turn you over to a ton of pregame coverage of tonight's championship game, Villanova at Michigan tonight, going for the national champion. And we should give one last shout out to the Indiana women's basketball team.
Champs.
They get to hang a banner in Assembly Hall. Great crowds and a great job in the postseason for the women's basketball team. So congratulations to that crew. We will be back Wednesday, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.